Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hi.
We're remote again. We're going to record in person next time.
Yeah, we'll be back with Mariah part three.
I'm excited about that.
What do we got going on today?
Well, our top story is that OJ Simpson died.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know that happened like 5 days ago. But it's a pretty big story, obviously.
I actually rewatched OJ Made in America.
Yeah.
That was like my falling asleep show for the last few nights.
Uh-huh.
And it's really good. I forgot how good it was.
So his Bronco is going to be for sale soon. Okay, this is from People. Ford Bronco used in infamous O.J. Simpson police chase will be sold, sellers hoping $1.5 million. So the owners of the infamous white Ford Bronco used in O.J. Simpson's 1994 police chase say they're selling the vehicle. Less than a week after Simpson died at the age of 76, the current owners of the vehicle told former ESPN reporter Darren Revell's new CLLCT.com that they plan to sell the Bronco. The Bronco became one of the most well-known in American history after Simpson's slow-speed chase on June 17, 1994, through Los Angeles, captured the nation's attention. About 95 million viewers were glued to their television screens as the chase was broadcast on multiple networks 4 days after Simpson's ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her husband, Ronald Goldman, were found stabbed to death outside of her Los Angeles home. The Bronco, which Simpson sat in the back of while his close friend and former teammate, Al Cowlings, drove, has most recently been on loan at the Alcatraz East Crime Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. So that's whose Bronco it is now.
It's in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Yes. And what's Alcatraz East? That's very east of Alcatraz.
I have no idea, but Pigeon Forge is where Dollywood is.
Is it?
Yeah. I've actually been there.
So this is Pigeon Forge. This crime museum has had the Bronco since 2016.
That sounds fun to go to that crime museum.
I mean, it sounds like they have some pretty big ticket items there to have the Bronco. That's crazy.
Bronco is, that's like, I mean, that's pretty iconic, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, obviously, I was thinking about just how crazy it is. Like, I can't believe, like, I did get to see that live chase, the slow speed chase.
Yeah. I mean, I did.
I think a lot of us, like at least people who were like of a certain age, were reflecting a lot on not only the case, but specifically the way the case played out, like in the media, and just how much of like a event it was for pretty much every American. One thing that was funny is like maybe a day or two after OJ died, somebody on Twitter who was like clearly Gen Z, everyone got really mad at their tweet because they were like, I don't believe a single one of you watched the OJ trial in class. You guys are all lying. And every aging millennial was like, excuse me, we did watch the verdict in class. And you know what? It's true. Like, that's how big of a deal the trial was, is that elementary school classes were being interrupted to watch the verdict.
The teachers didn't want to miss it.
Yeah, it was really the teachers.
Educational. Yeah, it's crazy. I remember where I was. I was in a restaurant because everyone in the restaurant like stopped eating, basically.
No, it was like, everywhere. I was on a field trip at the recycling center And we all rushed into the office of the recycling center and huddled around one of those teeny tiny little TVs and watched the verdict.
The other interesting thing in this documentary is they talk to a lot of the prosecutors and that side of things, and to see how much they recognized it wasn't going to go their way, like during the trial even.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, that must be such a bad feeling.
They knew.
Going through and knowing your jurors aren't buying it, or they don't give a shit about certain things, like, or other things have taken priority. It was interesting. Or
all the ways that they failed to do their case.
Well, yes, that too. And some of the jurors they spoke to as well, one woman in particular, she's like, I felt bad for them, but they shouldn't have done that, like with the glove. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's kind of like, why'd they do that?
Right.
These unforced errors, kind of like.
Oh my God. Not to mention Mark Furman as well. There's so many examples, like, of how this was botched.
Yeah, totally. No. So it's definitely interesting to sort of revisit the trial in that documentary, at least to get the whole picture. And, you know, obviously it's different looking back than when you were involved in it in the day to day. It was like a different experience.
You mean when we were witnessing it as the news?
Yeah. Book? As it was going on, it's like you have a different perspective, right? Like,
right, right.
Watching it and you're taking things in as if you're a juror, right? And we're also seeing things that the jury doesn't ever see. So we have that added information that sometimes they don't get.
Right.
Because, they can't bring that stuff in or whatever.
Cool. Well, if you have an extra $1.5 million laying around, the Ford Bronco could be yours.
Yeah.
I don't know who wants that.
Well, another crime museum, I guess. But that's got to be their biggest draw, right?
Yeah, how do you get rid of that?
You'd think they'd want to keep it.
Right.
Well, how much is a crime museum in Pigeon Forge raking in? Not much, probably.
In other 90s true crime news, John Wayne Bobbitt is in the news.
I saw that.
This is from Yahoo. John Wayne Bobbitt's toes were amputated 30 years after his wife, Lorena Bobbitt, cut off his genitalia.
I love that that's how they frame the headline.
We will never forget John Wayne Bobbitt.
I like that it has to, it's sort of tied, like as if it's tied to his dick being cut off. Like the infection spread to his toes.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have any, it's like a separate issue, but it makes it sound, the headline makes it sound like it's related for some reason.
Yeah. Now talk about another story that captivated the nation. This happened, of course, in 1993, so a year before OJ, but this was like the big story. This was the biggest crime story in the nation when this was going on.
And also a staple on like late night too.
Oh, yeah. And like people cracking jokes about Lorena Bobbitt. We actually did an episode on this case, one of our earlier episodes.
Yeah.
It was like episode 10 or something.
Did we like review his porn tape?
We did review
his porn movie.
We did review John Wayne Bobbitt's porn. One of his, he released two porns. We reviewed one of them on Patreon. That's like one of our early Patreon episodes.
Yeah, that was good one.
Yeah, it was a good Patreon episode. Horrific porn, though. And John Wayne Bobbitt's just like a really bad guy in general.
Yeah, no one wants to see him. Fuck.
Yeah, he's disgusting. So anyway, he had his toes amputated. It said, John Wayne Bobbitt was forced to have his toes amputated more than 30 years after his wife cut off his genitalia in 1993. John, 57, revealed to The Sun on April 13th that his toes were amputated due to toxic peripheral polyneuropathy. The condition was caused by his stint at the military base Camp Lejeune.
Oh my God.
Camp Lejeune, famous for their commercials on TV that says if you got issues from being at Camp Lejeune, call this number.
He can call the number.
He can call that number on the screen.
Does he know about
it? Yeah. Obviously, that's not the only thing Camp Lejeune is famous for. That's just how it's famous to me.
Yeah.
Please.
I mean, it's wild that they could save his dick, but not his toes. You'd think the toes would be easier, or maybe they just don't care because you don't need them.
Honestly, crazy they were able to save his dick. Like, I still think that's crazy. This was 31 years ago, and they were able to reattach it and make it functional again.
They used all of their medical expertise that they had at the time to reattach this dude's dick.
Right. Like,
that went into, which is wild to me.
And not to mention the desperate search through the cornfield on the side of the road to find the dick.
That's just so haunting to me, to thinking of them, like someone seeing it and having to pick it up.
Yeah. Whose job was that? Did they get like one of those doggy bags and put it on their hand?
Little tongs.
And pick it up like that? Like it was a dog turd? That's how I imagine it going down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. With the inside out baggie.
Mm-hmm. According to the Mayo Clinic, John's condition often causes weakness, numbness, and pain, usually in the hands and feet. It can also affect other areas and body functions, including digestion and urination. There's that dick problem again.
Jesus. I mean, his dick can't handle any more issues, probably, right?
Yeah, I would think that one more issue with his dick would cause it to fall off permanently.
Yes, it's like enough. I went out.
Yeah. Anyway, the Camp Lejeune, I'm not going to get into like that whole fucking scandal, but yeah.
What was he there for?
He was in the military.
Oh, okay. That's right.
John said that the effects of the contaminated water likely led to the incident that ended in his penis being cut off by his then wife. So he's blaming Camp Lejeune for being a rapist and an abuser.
Oh, damn.
He said, I wasn't behaving the way I should have. Maybe I would have made better decisions if my cognitive functioning wasn't distorted by the chemicals. Honestly, fuck off. Camp Lejeune, according to John Wayne Bobbitt, responsible for his bad behavior.
Wow. They haven't seen that one probably in their lawsuits.
Yes. Our next story is from Canada. This is from globalnews.ca. BC man, that's British Columbia, it admits he was reaching for fried chicken prior to crashing his car.
I mean, that's relatable.
Now, Desi, I thought of you because I thought if Desi's going to get in a car accident, this is how it's going to go down.
I always think like it's not the cell phone use that would cause me to crash. It'll be eating a hoagie while driving or something food related. Because it's like you're also not looking when you're picking up some fries. You know, there's lots of things that distract you.
No, it can be just as dangerous. One man is lucky he wasn't seriously injured or killed after crashing his vehicle in Rosslyn, BC, while reaching for a piece of fried chicken. A frontline officer with the Trail and Greater District RCMP responded to reports of a single vehicle crash on Highway 3 near the Nancy Green Junction in Rossland just before 3 p.m. last Sunday. When the officer arrived on the scene, he quickly located the smashed vehicle and the man who was behind the vehicle. Quote, his vehicle had sustained serious front end damage after colliding with a concrete barricade and needed to be towed from the scene, said Sergeant Mike Wissentowicz. The man allegedly confessed to the officer that he was reaching for a piece of fried chicken just before he smashed into the barrier. Honestly, I'm proud of him for admitting that.
I'm picturing him kind of poking around in the bucket.
Yeah.
He's like wanted a particular cut.
Right. He wants a drumstick.
Like just grabbing one. You don't have to look, right?
He
wanted like a thigh or something. So he's moving stuff around. That's how you crash.
I think it's admirable that he admitted this to the officer. I would have taken this to my grave, especially if that meant it was going to be published in globalnews.ca. There's no way.
He probably had no choice because the crash, there was like a bucket of fried chicken with the chicken splayed about, you know?
Yeah, that's really sad. He was given a $598 ticket. After the officer who attended the accident discovered that his vehicle's insurance had allegedly expired.
Oh.
The officer said, please stay focused on driving and leave the chicken dinner at home. Well, clearly this was takeout.
Seriously.
He was just transporting it. He smelled that hot, fried, juicy chicken.
I don't know anyone who can't eat something on the way home with their fast food in the car with them.
At least just a bite.
A little something.
You got to take a little bite on the way home.
The smell is too overwhelming.
And we all know that fast food tastes best within the first 5 minutes of ordering it.
Yeah. I mean, it's impossible. I don't think anyone could do it.
Yeah. Well, this is just be careful when you're eating your fried chicken on the way home.
Wait till you get to a red light.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Or just do what I have done in the past, and it's just pull around to the parking lot of the fast food restaurant and eat the food like a little gremlin in your car.
That's true. That's true.
I've done that a lot.
You end up eating way more than a little bite, though, because now you're like, well, now I'm going to settle in.
No, that's what I mean, is you pull over to eat the meal in your car.
Right. I guess my assumption was that he's bringing home a bucket of chicken to the family, but maybe
he's sneaking a bite.
Yeah. We all have our little reasons why he did what he did.
If I was his wife, I would be mad on two fronts now.
Yeah.
If I was expecting my husband to bring home a bucket of chicken and he got in a crash.
Yeah, but I'd be even more mad if he ate some in the parking lot.
Speaking of Canada, we have a story from Toronto, CTV News. Gravy delivered to Ontario legislature sparks police investigation.
Ooh.
A suspicious package delivered to Queen's Park was determined to be powdered gravy following a police investigation in Toronto on Tuesday. So I guess they thought this was anthrax, but it was powdered gravy.
Something equally toxic.
Yeah. Make your own gravy.
What is powdered gravy? I'm sickened. Like,
it's so easy to make gravy and the rewards are so worth it.
So this is just like, this is disgusting. I don't know why.
The Toronto Police Service, TPS, Ooh. Said officers were called to the Ontario legislature just after 11:30 a.m. for reports of a suspicious package. According to police, employees were evacuated from a small area of the building. It was later determined by an officer with the explosives unit that the package contained powdered gravy. Police believe the item was intended as a joke. This is the second time in a week that gravy delivered to Queen's Park has made headlines. Last week, Premier Ford, is that Rob Ford's brother?
Ooh, I think Doug Ford.
Is that his name?
I think so.
I mean,
so.
I know his brother is also in politics.
Yeah.
I guess he's the premier.
Is that like mayor?
I don't know.
You know,
Doug Ford gifted a can of gravy as a reminder of old family slogan. What? Okay, this is from last week. Ontario Premier Doug Ford received a reminder of his old family slogan on Tuesday after it was revealed that 48 staff within his office were on the sunshine list. I don't even know what that is.
I don't understand anything in that sentence.
Liberal parliamentary leader John Fraser spearheaded the stunt, sending a small can of mushroom gravy in a bag across the floor of the legislature. He didn't quite get it, Fraser told the reporters. I had to explain it, but he should get it. And I think he should know because, to my recollection, I think the premier didn't quite invent the gravy train, but he certainly revived it over his career.
You have to explain your joke.
Frasier needs to take the L on this.
The gravy train.
This is way too complicated. I get it. And I'm sure Doug Ford is terrible. I'm just saying that Frasier needs to take the L on this joke.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed for him.
The premier's late brother, Rob Ford, used the slogan "Stop the Gravy Train" widely during his campaign for mayor to indicate how he would cut red tape and save taxpayers' money. Mm. The phrase has been brought back to the legislature by Ontario Liberals, who say the Ford government has done the exact opposite. I did that to remind him that he more than doubled the staff at his office to 48 people who were all on the sunshine list, all of whom make more than the median family income in Ontario.
He should have put the can on a train, little toy train.
Yeah, that would have been really cool.
Because then it would have made sense.
Gravy train.
Yeah, we need to have it knocked out of the park. Like, no subtle jokes here.
Yeah, it needed to be on a little toy train. I would have absolutely respected that.
So is this why people are sending powdered gravy to the Queen's Park or whatever?
I think that was just like some other kind of prank. Let me see.
Okay.
The gesture. Okay, wait. That's about the gravy train. I'm back at the original article. Well, they asked Frasier, this liberal guy, if he was responsible for sending the powdered gravy.
Oh.
And he says he's heard that his gesture has sparked some citizens to do the same. Powdered gravy.
They're not even him.
Yeah, they're bad at this. They need to send a choo-choo train and a can of gravy.
Also, like, anthrax is so early 2000s. Like, is that still a thing? It just seems like everything now is just a hoax, or like it's not really anthrax. It's like powdered sugar or something.
Yeah, I don't know when the last time an actual anthrax was sent.
Do you remember? That was such a big deal.
Oh, totally.
It's like every envelope to the whatever Congress, it was like anthrax.
Oh, yeah. Anthrax was huge. Anthrax kind of fell off.
No, it's out of style.
Anyway, our final story is about Valerie Bertinelli.
Oh.
Valerie Bertinelli made the news because she slammed the Food Network.
Ooh.
Now, she had a show on the Food Network for many years. Did you ever see her show?
I don't know if I saw her show, but I did see her. She hosted like a kids baking contest.
Yeah. And to be honest, Valerie participated in the problem that she's talking about here when she slammed the Food Network.
Oh.
By hosting these kids baking championships. I never watched the kids baking championships, the spring baking championships. And I agree with her statement that she said Food Network is not about cooking and learning anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely not what it used to be.
Actress and cookbook. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from Yahoo Entertainment. Actress and cookbook author Valerie Bertinelli didn't hold back when she was asked about the current state of Food Network, her former employer. A fan on Threads, which is the app, said they've grown tired of all the cooking competitions that are replacing cooking shows. In response to the comment, Bertinelli slammed Food Network for taking the focus away from cooking and learning. She also commended the pioneering hosts of the network, including Ina Garten and Giada De Laurentiis. Quote, I fell in love with Food Network 2 decades ago because all of the amazing In the Kitchen shows, 30-minute meals, Ina, Giada, the list goes on. I learned so much. It's sad that it's not about cooking and learning any longer. Oh, well, that's just business, folks, she wrote. Bertinelli's remarks come a year after her show, Valerie's Home Cooking, was canceled after 14 seasons on Food Network. And earlier this year, she was let go from the network series Kids Baking Championship. Bertinelli had served as co-host and judge on the baking competition show since it debuted in 2015. So, yeah, I mean, look, Valerie Bertinelli participated in the Old Guard of Food Network, which was hosting a cooking show, but also in the Current Guard, which is hosting a competition show.
I don't mind a little competition, but I do feel like they should go back more to what it was.
I agree.
I like sometimes when you have a chef who isn't necessarily a great personality, but is really good, because I feel like they move to a certain type of personality only.
It seems like they started hiring people based on their personality and not their cooking skills.
Yeah. And I don't mind a few of those, but it's like, I don't necessarily care if they have this big, huge personality. I just want to like watch something good.
Well, there also kind of became so many. Yeah. Yeah. There just became so many shows where it was like, all right, this is like putting powdered soup mix in a bowl.
Right. But I also feel like sometimes, like, let's say someone like Guy Fieri takes off, or like Emeril took off, and this is no slander to them, then they'll try to like put 100 more like him on.
No, and it's like,
I like a variety. Like,
no, I want a variety. And I think Guy Fieri and Emeril, those are two very specific personalities. Like, maybe you can get the girl version of that, which I guess could have been like Rachel Ray, because she's like,
yeah,
kind of insane.
Yes, definitely.
But like, stop after that.
Also, personalities come in all shapes and sizes. Like, it doesn't have to be a huge bombastic personality that's interesting. Like, Ina is interesting. And she's low key. Like, Martha's show is interesting. And it's definitely like Xanax. Like, it's just like, not everything has to be big and bold and bam. Like,
honestly,
went that way.
Yeah. Bring back the Xanax cooking shows.
Yes. I like those.
Yeah. My mom only watches NPR cooking shows now. Those are the ones that are like America's Test Kitchen.
Yeah. America's Test Kitchen is good.
Honestly, they have some great cooking shows that are definitely in the Xanax genre of cooking shows.
I love that genre. And I do feel like they really went away from that in particular. Like,
yeah, because now everything is like sound effects and reality competition. They've strayed so far.
I just miss those days. Like, I also like Two Hot Tamales. Remember those girls?
Oh, yeah. We talked about them on our episode, Food Network Crimes and Scandals Part 2.
Like, they were like a little more personality, but still like a very food centric show.
And yeah, I want to learn about cooking. I want to see people cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just like easy stuff. I want to see stuff I won't necessarily make, too. Like, it doesn't have to be things I'm going to make. Like,
yeah, it doesn't have to be super easy. I want to see a variety of complicated dishes and easy to make dishes.
Absolutely. Let us run the Food Network.
Bring back Jacques Pepin.
My favorite was from the 90s. I always talk about him, David Rosengarten, where he was just, he was like so nerdy. I love him.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. That's my favorite guy host, probably.
Yeah. That's old school.
Yes. Yeah. No, I haven't watched Food Network in a while, honestly.
I haven't either. Anyway, let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Desi, what are you watching this week?
Well, I've been watching a lot of stuff. We didn't get to it up top, but I do have COVID. That's why we're recording. I thought you were going to say it, and then you didn't, and then I didn't say it. So I have been watching a lot of television. Luckily, I'm not that sick. I'm just a little stuffy. But as I mentioned, I watched the OJ. I watched the OJ. What's that show called? The Ryan Murphy?
The People versus OJ.
Yes, The People versus OJ. And then I started watching Real Housewives of New Jersey from season one. And oh boy, that is like what we always talk about. How we miss reality TV from the early days, like the early 2000s. This is in that genre. It is so raw, and they're so not, they don't know what it is yet.
Right.
So they're being really real, and they're the most New Jersey thing ever.
Right.
So for me in particular, growing up in that area, it's just so good. I couldn't believe it, how good it is. So I'm excited. And I do need to get back on Sister Wives. I'm slacking.
No, New Jersey's like one of my mom's Housewives franchises.
Oh, really?
She watches Jersey and Beverly Hills.
Okay. I mean, two classics. So I'm on the first season. I did watch it a while ago, but I decided to just start it again as like a nighttime viewing thing. And it's crazy. I can't believe how, I was like, this is why it took off. Like,
yeah.
And I heard the second season is also great. So I'm excited. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been watching.
Well, I have been watching Ripley.
Oh, I started that.
It's good. I will say the best thing about it is the cinematography and just how stunning every single frame of the show is. It looks like a painting.
Yes.
Like they really went off.
They did. It didn't draw me in though, so I stopped watching.
Okay. You got to push through it. I was going to turn it off after the first episode because I just was not, it wasn't that compelling, but I do feel like it gets, for me at least, like I became more invested in it. I'm not finished it yet, but I will say that there's a cat in the show.
I saw the cat.
That does some
white and orange one.
Well, it's in black and white, but we can assume it looks like it could be white and orange. It's a big floofer.
I think I might have seen a picture of it in real life, and it is white and orange.
Okay, this cat is a great actor.
Yeah. I'll definitely go back to it. Maybe I'm just not in the mood for that type of show right now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's definitely kind of a slow. It's a little slow.
Oh, I did finish the show. Fuck, what's it called? The one we were talking about, the woman who has the nanny cam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what's that show? Fool Me Once.
Fool Me Once. I did totally finish that. That one I powered through. I was like, I got to get to that ending. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's so wow. It was so wow. So I watched Ripley. I also watched Fallout, which I thought was very good.
Is that based on a video game?
It's based on a video game. And I've never played the video game. I like whenever something's based on a game, I have zero idea what you're talking about. I'm not a gamer.
Yeah, it has to stand on its own.
And this does stand on its own, much like how The Last of Us I was able to enjoy despite not having played the game or having any knowledge of the game.
Right.
So I'm sure it's really interesting for people who are fans of Fallout and find all these whatever Easter eggs and references and the like and see how it's translated to television. But I thought it was really well done. I'm excited for the next season. It was a fast watch. Like it's definitely a bingeable show.
Okay.
And Walter Goggins is very good in it.
Oh, that's right.
He stars in it.
Okay.
He's great in it. And John Daly, friend of the pod, is in it.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it other than that it's a game. And I don't know what the game is at all.
It's like post-apocalyptic kind of. But it's weird.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. I think you should just watch it. I think you would like it.
Okay.
I think you would like it, actually. Kyle MacLachlan's also in it.
Ooh.
Sugar. Which is the new Colin Farrell show on Apple TV.
Right.
Also, again, this is a banner year for cat actors. The cat on this show, there is a cat. She is also an excellent actress. This cat.
Cats are natural born actors.
No, this cat, I think you will be blown away at this cat's. This cat is like meowing on cue. Please don't tell me they added it in post. I don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
Because I really think this cat is selling it in the show.
Wow.
She
even if they put it in after post, she gave the expression.
Well, there's a moment where she does meow at Colin Farrell and her mouth opens.
Okay.
So I mean,
you can make a cat meow.
I'm just saying this cat hits all of her marks. She has personality. She's adorable. She's a star.
Okay. What does she look like?
She's gray. Ooh. Ish. She's like tabby-ish. I posted a clip.
Silver tabby?
I posted a clip of her on Twitter. Like I quote tweeted Apple. They posted. Okay. Yeah, it's a gray tabby. And she's so cute.
Aww.
And she gets easily picked up and manhandled by Colin Farrell.
I mean, who wouldn't?
She loves it. So I highly recommend that show, even if it's just for the cat. I am enjoying it. Only the first three episodes are out. I think the next one comes out on Thursday.
I think I let my Apple subscription expire.
You got to get that back.
Okay. You know, I lost my credit card and then a lot of things got canceled and I have to redo them.
Right.
But sometimes it's good for me because it's like, oh, I wanted to cancel that. And now I don't.
Oh, my God. It's kind of a double-edged sword losing your credit card. Cause like it
half of them are good.
Half of the stuff is good and then the other half is really bad. No, I like it. Sugar, it's like very noir.
Is he like a private eye or something?
He's a private eye and he's trying to solve a Hollywood crime.
I'm into him now. I have to say I was not really a fan. I was neutral.
Yeah.
But now I think he's really hot. Like I think he got hotter to me as he's aged.
Yeah. I was never like a fangirl of his, and not because I disliked him.
Yeah, same.
I just didn't think about him that much. I don't think it was until the last few years that I really stood up at attention for Colin Farrell. But
he's obviously very attractive for sure. But you know, sometimes you just don't get it. It's just not for you.
I did see him at Gelson's once, like 10 years ago.
I just think he got hotter. I don't know. For me, I think.
Yeah, I think I just maybe noticed. I think I've just paid more attention to him. More.
And maybe he's a little more rugged or something.
I don't know. I feel like this man has aged so well.
Yeah, he's definitely. I think he's also in things I like more.
Yeah.
Oh, I did hear someone say this and I really agree with it. They said, I don't know who, I can't remember who said it, but they were like, he's like a character actor in a leading man's body. And now that he's doing these more character actor type roles, it's fitting more. And I have agreed with that.
Yeah. I think he's picking more interesting roles than maybe we were used to seeing of him.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong because I wasn't like following his career too closely before.
Yeah. He was in that bad season of True Detective, right?
Yes. Yes.
Not that that should be a judgment on him.
That's not a judgment on him.
I couldn't remember. I was like, wait. I mean, I'm sure he was very good in it. Yeah.
I also wanted to mention that I was on a podcast this past week, Best Week Ever. And we talked about pop culture events from the past week.
Fun.
We talked about JoJo Siwa. We talked about Gypsy.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun.
JoJo.
We talked about JoJo Siwa. So if you...
What's going on there?
Well, she had a big week last week.
I kind of followed it on the periphery. So I know she's trying to edge up her image, but maybe it was a bit abrupt. That's my take on what I've seen. Like it was a little too out of nowhere.
No, we talked about her how embarrassing her whole like press tour has been.
Or her how old is she now?
She's still so young. I feel like she's like 22.
Okay. I mean, it's hard to grow up in the public eye and try to transition into adulthood for sure. Especially I think the thing with her too is she upped the young for so long that it's even harder.
Well, we definitely mentioned that, how I said that my first introduction to JoJo was that she was a 16-year-old girl who was still dressing like an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
I just was like always so baffled by that, but I was obviously way too old for her music.
I don't even think I know a single song by her. She needs to like, what you need to do is drop the little girl act and then bring all those things back when you're like in your 30s and 40s.
That's just demented.
No, you want to wear your bows again, put your little bow barrettes on. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's trying to edge up her image now. She's trying, like, she's referenced Miley Cyrus a million times, but clearly it felt a little more natural with Miley, even if at the time plenty of people thought her edging up her image was annoying. But she pushed through, and I think Miley definitely became a more respected, critically acclaimed artist over the last 10 years.
I think the thing was, even though Miley might have seemed abrupt, she was finally being herself rather than the Disney persona. And so that was just a transition people had to accept. And I don't think people know yet who the real JoJo Siwa is, possibly.
Yeah. But
I think people should let her figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out, JoJo. It's not for me, but figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think of her ever, truly.
Wow.
Negatively or positively. She's not on my radar. Do you know what I mean?
She's not on my radar either, but we did talk about her on Best Week Ever.
You know what? I had a pop culture blast from the past because I was researching Camille Grammer, Don't Ask. And one of her... I saw a promo. Someone posted a clip of her old promo where she's like, I'm a dancer. And it's this promo. And she's like, I used to be on Club MTV. And I had completely forgotten about Club MTV. So I started researching Club MTV. That was just such a funny show that was hosted by Downtown Julie Brown.
I loved The Grind.
Oh, yeah. The Grind. I guess that was the successor at some point.
It was the successor to Club MTV. And The Grind was literally, there used to be a show for all you Gen Zers out there. There used to be a show on MTV called The Grind. And it was just people dancing in a club environment. Or during spring break, they would just be dancing like around a pool on the beach.
And the host, what was his name? Eric something? Eric Nye?
Yeah, Eric Nye.
He was like really muscle guy.
He was tan and muscular.
No, it was like, I guess Club MTV was like MTV's version of American Bandstand, where you're playing like the hits of the day. Maybe there's even like a countdown and everyone's just dancing. But Camille was on Club MTV.
No, if you like, that was like a big deal. If you were like a hottie.
Yeah.
Back in the day, and you got on Club MTV or The Grind, like, oh, look at me, I'm dancing on a platform on the beach.
No, and literally everyone dancing is vying for the camera. You can see them all. Like, it's fascinating watching them.
They all want to be on camera, and everyone's super hot.
And then the second the camera hits them, you can see the immediate change when they recognize the cameras on them. It's crazy.
No, they start going off.
It's like a precursor to the internet almost. It's like, look at me. I want my 5 seconds of fame.
Oh, yeah. I think we have to make a big announcement, Desi, now that we transition into our food segment. Mm. We did a collaboration with Fluffy McLeod's, my brother's ice cream shop. That's how that happened. Because
we were Nepo babies.
We're ice cream Nepo babies. Our flavors, Desi and I created two flavors for Fluffies, and they are available for the next month. If you're in the Echo Park area, please stop by, tag us on Instagram, and let us know what you think. Do you want to talk about your flavor that you came up with?
Sure. So I did like a take on a banoffee pie. I wanted like a banana ice cream. So it's like a banana ice cream with dulce de leche swirl and Biscoff cookie chunks or crumbs for like the crust. And I was really happy with how it came out.
I tasted it. I helped make it. Well, we both, you know, we were there. We were there in the testing stages.
Right.
It's phenomenal. It's out of control. You're underselling it. It is one of the best ice creams I've ever tasted, in my opinion. My
God. It tastes like the pie. It's crazy.
It's like, so
it
good.
It actually tastes like it. Yeah.
It's so good. My flavor is cherry almond. So it is an almond flavored marzipan-y ice cream base with cherries, with Amarena cherries in it.
And it's also very good.
And it's very good. And I'm very happy with the way it turned out. So if you're in Echo Park, go down to Fluffy's, get our ice creams.
Yeah, we want to see people trying them. This is exciting for us.
No, this is really exciting for us. This is just the very first step in becoming food influencers.
I know. I almost texted you and your brother. Like, where's the input? We want to see the data sheets. What are people saying?
Yeah, what are they saying about our ice cream?
Are they do they get taste test of it? You know, like the free taste?
Yeah, you get a free taste.
No, that's what I mean. I want to see them tasting it and being like, maybe next time. Or like, ooh. What are they saying? Like, ooh, that's good. Like, do you know what I mean?
I've seen in the Instagram stories a few people have bought both of our flavors.
Oh, you have?
Yes. Okay. So people are buying it. And I saw in the comments on my brother's post about it that people were intrigued by the flavors.
Oh, nice.
So that's exciting. I'm really happy with what we came up with. And we'll hopefully be having a little party, a little soiree at the ice cream shop. We'll keep you posted about that.
Yeah. So go, if you're in the area, go get our ice cream and let us know how it is.
Yeah. Tag us. Give us your report. But be nice.
Yeah, if you don't like it, just keep your report to yourself.
I think it's good. I'm confident.
I'm confident.
That was my biggest fear, not being confident. But my brother said to us, he said, we will not put out a bad product.
Right. Neither one of us are doing anything like super crazy. These are good flavors. Like,
yeah.
If you don't like flavors, then you won't like those ice creams. But most people do, so.
They're really good. They're both good. I'm going to Disneyland this week, so there's going to be a lot more exciting food things to report on, I'm sure.
Yum.
By next week.
You got to get a corn dog.
I'm going to get that corn dog. That corn dog, because it's like right off of Main Street, it's usually the first thing I get, and it's always at like 10 a.m.
I love it. It's a good breakfast.
It's a great breakfast.
It'll fuel your day. You got to get it.
It does.
You save your pineapple Dole Whip for like the hot afternoon.
Right.
Go into the Tiki Lounge, relax in the AC.
No, I have a system.
Yeah. Everyone.
Masha just jumped on the table, if that made a noise. The cats are about to start wiling out. They're like, where's Desi? We hear her, but we can't see her. This is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Did you eat anything great this week?
I don't think so.
You've been sick. So how many saltines have you had?
I'm not that kind of sick. So I have been eating, but just nothing too exciting. Mostly things I can deliver. So I had like a Shake Shack cheeseburger last night.
Wow. I guess you're not very sick.
No, I'm not like, I don't have like that COVID where you can't taste anything. I can taste everything. I never get that one.
Although to be fair, both times I've had COVID, I have craved, I've unlike other illnesses, I have like been very, very hungry.
Yeah, I'm not like not hungry.
COVID like, made me hungry, even for cheeseburgers.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I feel like I might have had something good on the weekend, maybe. Oh, I don't remember. But yeah, nothing too exciting. I haven't done my cooking like I promised.
Well,
so I have some rotting vegetables probably.
Well, you're sick. So we'll get
I'm
to that.
Lazy. Yeah.
You're allowed to relax. And so we're taking it easy this week.
Did you have anything?
Did I have anything? Honestly, not really. I'm saving all my love for Disneyland.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm excited. I wish I could go.
And then, my cousin's going to be in town. So we're going to go out to dinner as well this week. After that.
You have a res somewhere? Or?
Yeah, we have a reservation. So I'll keep you updated on that. And still reading Game of Thrones. I know that's not a very good segue. It's just been on my mind. I finished the first book.
You did?
Of A Song of Ice and Fire. Now I'm on the second book.
So funny. It's like, I just picture you dressing in like Renaissance fair costumes.
It's first of all, it's medieval. It's medieval period.
Whatever. When you go to the Ren fair, you wear whatever.
Oh, I'm on the second book, A Clash of Kings.
What season is that?
Season two.
Okay.
Although some things do feel like expedited or drawn out. I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't remember exactly which season things occurred in the TV show, but it definitely, I would say the first book stuck very faithfully to the first season.
I think it probably gets a little crazier here and out as far
what
as
do you
that
mean?
Goes. Like as far as sticking one book per season, it doesn't do that, I think.
Yeah. Like I think some things are in motion already that I'm like, oh, I feel like that didn't happen till later.
But well, I'm sure some nerd broke it down online.
Oh, I'm sure.
Some like huge chart of it all.
I would say the first book really sticks very faithfully to the first season. Like everything that you remember from the first season happens in the first book. It is also very funny hearing this old British guy narrate the sex scenes between Daenerys and Khal Drogo.
Oh my God.
George R.R. Martin is a freak.
And he's just like, and then he took his shaft.
No, it literally, like he put his manhood inside of her and touched her nipple. George.
Like, I don't know. It's like, Grandpa.
No. She was wet beneath the legs. He's talking about her lips down below. I'm like, George, please.
I'm going to throw up.
Just kidding. No, he's a freak. And I love him. I love him for that. But he is a freak.
It's just weird to see him, then read that, and then also then hear someone saying it.
Yes.
I think someone say it is kind of smutty because it's like you're reading erotica or something.
I haven't looked up the guy who narrates the book. Like, I don't know what he looks like. It's like his name is like Roy Dotrice. Oh my God. This guy is. Oh my God. He died.
Oh shit.
The narrator of the book died. Roy Dotrice. He's a very famous British actor. But he died in 2017. But he's like. Yeah. What's OBE? Is he knighted? Order of the British Empire.
Oh. Yeah, I think so. He must be a famous book reader.
This is the guy. Can you see?
Oh, damn. Does he have a pink bow tie on?
It's a pink tie. This is his Wikipedia picture. But this is the old man who's narrating the book, who I have to hear narrate the way that Khal Drogo is pumping in and out of Daenerys.
I need to hear the outtakes. Like, was he cracking up when he was reading this? Is he a professional?
Was he getting turned on?
Was he like, oh dear?
I mean, because some of the scenes, it's like they're graphic, but definitely still graphic in the way that, you know, it's not like is it that you would like a romance novel would describe it, like manhood.
Right. It's kind of also it's like a man writing erotica is always a little different.
Yeah, it's different.
I did get a book on tape that I'm gonna try out. It's a pandemic. It came out of the pandemic. It's called How High We Go in the Dark. Did you hear about this book?
What's it about? Who's it by?
It's by a Japanese writer, Naga Matsu.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, I mean, it's about a lot of things, but the reason I bought it is because they take terminally ill kids to an amusement park and they put them on a suicide roller coaster.
Desi.
I'm not laughing at what's happening. I'm laughing because it's so freaking dark, and that's what made me want to read it.
Yeah.
And I think apparently this is something that someone really created. You know how people create things in theory?
Yes.
No one's ever going to like actually put it together, but it's like this roller coaster that does something at certain angles that you can't survive.
Yes, yes, yes. I've heard of it.
Yeah, so something like that. And this is like the kids, so they're having this fun on their last moments.
This is dark.
It's so dark.
This is so dark.
So I was like, well, that might be something I can pay attention to on a book on tape.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. Maybe it's too dark for me. That could happen.
It could happen.
And also, I don't know how in the mood I am for a pandemic. Like, am I? I liked like Station 11. And
wait, the book is actually about a pandemic.
I think so, yeah. I think so because I think it came out like post-pandemic.
Okay.
It's sort of influenced by what happened.
Interesting. That sounds interesting. It sounds dark, but interesting.
Yeah, I do like that kind of science fiction type story.
Yeah, me too.
They're usually pretty dark in general, even before the pandemic. So we'll see how it goes.
Cool. But yeah. Well, I'm excited to record again in person.
Me too.
You know, it's like, it's difficult not having you here across from me, I will say. We're just not as seasoned as remote recording. With each other, I mean.
Right, right.
We do it a lot with other people. It's just different.
Mm-hmm. And the cats miss me.
I know, Melon really misses you. So get well soon. When Desi's better, we'll record our next episode. So stay tuned for that. But we want to make sure you're all better.
Thank you.
And I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Join our Patreon, patreon.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. We got a ton of great content up there. American Idol, Rock of Love, etc.
Yeah.
And more.
And more.
All right.
Yeah. We'll see ya.
Yeah, we'll see ya. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.